important before I started gathering people together to say, to talk about recycling, curbside recycling. I looked at the history of this topic with the city, and I felt it would be extremely important to begin by meeting one-on-one with our local haulers. I proceeded to make I had meetings with every single one of them, and they were all aware of the new reauthorization of the EPA's act that has shifted the focus of prior years to how do we keep things clean and pristine in our landfills to now how do we divert our materials waste out of landfills. That Section 115 reauthorization has stipulations for every county in Michigan. So the county must submit a brand new waste management plan, materials waste management plan. The county at large must provide drop-off curbside stations to help those villages and cities smaller than 5,000 people. The rule is for every 10,000 residents in the entire county, you must have at least one drop-off station. So the county is working in general on getting together with all of the local village governmental officials, smaller city officials, and thinking about how do we best roll this out. Last year, about the same exact time, the county asked me to do a series of listening sessions that were just generally talking about recycling. Not specifically curbside, but this was from the county. So I visited every single area of the county and held a listening session. Keep in mind that listening sessions are unlike a town hall. They're very unlike a traditional open forum, public comment section, or even a focus group. All participants in the listening session are given the ground rules of how we operate. And the key is that we want an environment that is safe, secure, untimed, so people can speak as long as they want, as long as they stay on topic. And everybody is given the same prompts. So I ask a question to begin with, and everybody is able to respond to that question one at a time. I ask that people don't nod in agreement or furrow their brow in questioning or concerns, so that every single person, regardless of what their opinion is treated respectfully. I take copious notes. I try to get verbatim what is said at each round of the questions. And then after those questions, I go back and I analyze everything that was said across those 90 minutes. I can tell you that in the 90-minute sessions, most of them go a little longer, not because we're not sticking to the agenda, but because people have a lot more to say than sometimes we anticipate. I've never had somebody get up and leave early, and I'm upwards of 300-plus listening sessions over the state of Michigan for various topics. The round that we just did here is answering the Section 115 regulation that says cities over 5,000 people must provide curbside recycling access to 90% of the single-family dwellings. But I just want to clarify, it's not making anybody recycle, and it is not... there's no penalties if you choose not to recycle. But 90% of the single-family dwellings, so no duplexes, no multi-unit apartments are included in this. Commercial isn't also involved in what we're talking about here. The sole question is, how will you decide to implement curbside recycling for 90% of those residents, single-family residents, single-dwelling residents that would like it? When we first started, I was given the green light City Manager Henney was very clear. We don't have any preconceived notions. We don't have an intended outcome that we want you to manipulate to get to that. It was a complete independent process, which I wouldn't have agreed to do this if it wasn't independent. That's the whole beauty of this process, is that we get what the people say. I am a neutral facilitator. I write down everything that is said, and then I adhere to a professional ethics to say, you're going to hear everything that people said. Everybody knows that what they say will be anonymous, and I've never broken that promise either. I change context, so there's no way people could point the finger that, oh, that was Joe Schmo saying that. And so I've always promised to everybody that comes to a listening session to participate that they will never, ever see their name or should be worried about what is said attached to them or an organization that they belong to. Many people say, I don't care, use my name, but there's nothing in here that should point the finger of who these people were. I think those are important intros to ultimately proceeding with the curbside recycling listening sessions. I contracted to do 12, and it was important for these sessions to be held all over the city. In your report, I think you'll find that I held them at Ollie's Coffee Place. I held them at 3 or 4 at the Armory, Baker College, the Rainbow Bar. I held 2. I held a private one in a home by invitation with neighbors. And I held one at the Church of the Nazarene, where we had 17 association members of the condo association up at the high school. And I also conducted a large session for 11 people at the Austin Condominium Association. Those condominiums are considered a single family dwelling. So I held 3 virtual, and they were advertised widely through the paper, through flyers. I put posters up even in the waste bins in the city outside. And we even did a small commercial that was viewed, that was put all over the city to get as much participation as possible. It was put on social media. And so our total participation in all was 103 residents. That might not seem like a big slice of a 14,000 or more population, but when you think about each one of those individuals spent 90 minutes or more engaged in this topic, it gives you a really rich, powerful body of information to go by. In this particular topic, I felt that it was extremely important to give them all the facts as I had gathered them. And local haulers and outside experts gave me that background knowledge. I extended the timeline to start these listening sessions because it became far more complicated than anticipated, and there was far more information that needed to be shared, and I wanted to double check and triple check that my facts were accurate. So I met with the haulers one-on-one. I rode a dump truck. I rode with Kelly to the dump. Our conversations totaled probably 3 hours. I met with Gentech over the phone for 2 or 3 conversations, and I'm going to say it was 2 hours total. I toured Specialty, and I spoke with the owner there. Who am I missing? Oh, I met with Waste Management's regional director, who I met with him at a city location for approximately 2 hours. And Granger, I did not have an opportunity to speak with Granger prior to the session starting, but I did have a lengthy conversation with the representative for Michigan, our area, last week. I was able to include that in the report. When I met with local haulers, I asked them the question, are you aware of this new law? Yes. Well, how do you feel about it? not excited. And I asked them probing questions of, well, tell me about this. Basically, they said, it is not cost effective for us as smaller local haulers to haul recycling, and here's why. Recycling requires new separate equipment from trash. So you cannot co-mingle your recycling with your trash. And the distance to dump their trash trucks, I'm going to call them garbage trucks, and it's called tipping, not dumping. So to tip their trucks, they get on a commercial scale, they're weighed by the ton, and for garbage or trash, the average tipping fee at the time that I met with people was about $28 a ton. To take recycle, and the landfills that are most used by our local trash haulers are the Venice Township landfill and the one in Montrose. They told me, depending upon the situation of gas prices, fees that might be associated with either of the landfills, that determines where they go for that week or that month, etc. To tip a recycling truck, the nearest MRF, which is a materials recovery facility, and the nearest materials recovery facility is in either Saginaw or in Lansing. Those facilities charge $111 on average to tip 1 ton of recycling. So the cost differential is absolutely huge. And the distance is much further for our local recyclers to go to a MRF. There are what's called a transfer station that serves as an intermittent place where you can take your recycling as a local hauler, keep it there, and somebody else will take that. Maybe they'll do a little processing and take it to the MRF. MRFs explained to me when I contacted the MRF folks that the reason the cost is so much higher is they have very high-tech equipment in these MRFs. They have robotic eyes, they have conveyor belts that are very robotic and sort and collect the various recyclable materials that are given. And then there's a behind the scenes looking at what is the commodity that we've collected here worth in a resale market. And all of that is a lot more handling than is done at our local landfill. And to a T, every single smaller local hauler said, we can't make any money on this. I asked them if the city were to pass the ordinance saying all local haulers must also pick up recycling. They said, we will comply. But they also said, and I asked them if I could share what they say, and they were in agreement, is that we'll do it, it's going to cost money, and they want to set their own fees. I think you can understand why that would be something that they would stipulate, very understandably. The larger, I still refer to them as local haulers, because one of them lives in our community, is very actively involved, sends their children to our public schools, and does service our community as well. It's still a larger hauler, a larger company. So the local hauler said, no, we don't want to do this. And they don't want to, they told me flat out that they would be reluctant to promote curbside recycling pickup to their own customer base. Everything we know about cost is that the more people who choose to recycle or participate, the cost goes down. So even the larger haulers said if they were to do a contract for being the sole recycling pickup company, that they would want to have two options. One, have everybody in the city receive a recycling bin, whether they use it or not, and that it would be a set term where they would be guaranteed their circulation. Another larger hauler said, having a Tuesday, Thursday, south side, north side pickup is not convenient for them. In order to make their truck, their recycling truck, fiscally responsible, they would want to do all recycling pickup on one day in one fell swoop. Again, I think that makes sense logically as well. We learned so much about what the local haulers wanted and what they said, that large, sharing that information with the people who participated in the listening sessions was vital, because I believe that without that local hauler input, we would see likely one option to ask haulers, to local haulers, to pick up recycling, as I think people would say, yeah, we're going to support them. We want to, you know, grow their business. And that would have been a burden for them. So you'll see in the final results of what people recommend to you as a city council is that the local haulers don't want to pick up the recycling. They will if they have to. The other issue that was brought up in this research finding is there's a lot of chatter about trash pickup and street use in the city. So I looked at a lot of different social media sites that Owosso residents put their two cents on, and trash pickup can be a sore subject for a lot of people. The notion is that people say, well, I live on a street. There are five different colored trash bins, and on any given Tuesday or Thursday, there are five different garbage haulers going down the same street. The city street present state is a huge item for our residents. I can tell you that it was brought up in every single session that I held. And at the onset of this process, I thought, I want to kind of keep the streets out of it. Let's keep it a pure recycling conversation. It was impossible. We had to address the street wear. Local haulers said, we are not, you can't tell us that we've caused the damage. I said, well, did you contribute to it? He said, well, the problem is in the substructure of how the streets were made originally, and that the patching process is temporary because of the substructure. They challenged me to go to service entrances of landfills, which are Class A streets, and they said that you will not see a pothole in any one of those Class A streets leading into a landfill because they were built properly. I came back with the question, well, our roads are what they are, our streets are what they are, and few cities that I know of could afford at all to begin to tackle substructure and all their streets. So are you willing, do you have a solution for this, for lessening the number of trucks on the road? I said, well, have you considered precincts, where you divide the city into zones and precincts, and every hauler gets their own precinct, and you can't cross over and service another precinct. This is addressing the city wear and tear. They said our loyal customers will not want to change, and that you can't evenly divide up the city into comparable zones. In other ways, you know, they mentioned the hospitals here, Corona Avenue's homes. You've got a whole lot of factors that impact somebody picking up trash. Nonetheless, the only solution that was offered from our local haulers was, in a neighborhood, you should get together and decide on one hauler, and everybody go with that hauler, and you would eliminate them for your section of the town. I presented the material for the local haulers. I talked about the relationships being extremely important. Kelly's, that was one of the longest things he talked about. was the relationships he's built and giving notice to a client that something doesn't look right at their home, the door's open, the dog's out, whatever it might be. All haulers, small and large, talked about customer service and building relationships. Let me see, what else? So given all that information, it became apparent that there were more than a couple of options, and there are five options that, based on everything other experts said, including the Corona city manager and their deputy clerk, she's now the clerk now, I'm sorry, and treasurer, that people had a perception that their taxes weren't raised. Well, they used a gradual model supplemented by PA 28. You have it in Owosso too. I just think it might be allocated already. But they did a gradual increase over time, supplementing with PA 28. Am I saying that right? 58?
298.
That's it. And they did it over a 5 or 6 year period, and this coming year is the first year that the residents will be paying the full amount of what that recycling and trash single haul pickup was. Other experts really did help a lot in thinking about the different options. So in your report, I tried to, and in the highlighted, I've given you a highlighted 3 page or 2 because the report is so long. And I put that on everybody's placement here. This is just the bottom line nitty-gritty of what everything was said, the most pressing, the most salient points. This is a 3-page document I'm referring to right now. And that was underneath your big report, stakeholder report. And in these highlights, you will see the number of people that participated. And you will also see on the second page the definitions of the definitions of each option. I went through each option during the listening sessions, and I had pros and cons listed for each one. Option one was to mandate that all single-family dwellings in Owosso will have curbside recycling access through a small increase in local tax collection, and they would receive bids to contract with a single recycling provider. This means everybody in Owosso gets a bin, every single family dwelling gets a bin, whether they use that to put toys in the backyard or put their rakes and their garage tools in it would be up to them. But the idea here is that you've got one hauler doing all the recycling. The con is that you're adding another truck to the road, and not everybody wants to pay for a service they might not use. Option two is to pass an ordinance mandating that local haulers provide curbside recycling pickup service to residents who want it. Local haulers would want to set their rates, but other cities have put specifications that they would want them to follow in their contracts. That would be a decision that the city council would need to make. Option three, I purposely have this as an option because I wanted people to consider a couple of things. This option is provide recycling and brush and yard waste pickup as a combined bundled service, using the local tax that's already allocated for the brush pickup. There's a potential that if we bundled recycling with that, that there would be absolutely no increase to our residents. Now, I will tell you that option three was the most unpopular option of the five because it would require them to bag their leaves and cut their sticks and brush and use twine to bundle their brush. So I think I have, out of the 103 participants, I think one person said that that would be an option that they might consider. Corona bags their leaves, and they bundled their branches. So I wanted to make that a clarification too. Option four is to utilize a preferred subscriber plan with one recycling hauler. That means that the recycling hauler would only go to those people who are willing to pay. Now the pros are that you are initiating sustainability for a city. The cons are that without doing it for everybody having access, the price for those choosing to recycle will be very large. And the haulers told me they were talking about, off the top of their heads, they quoted a $30 per month recycling fee. Option five is to mandate curbside trash and recycling pickup as a citywide service, utilizing a single hauler through a local tax method. So in that situation, I explained it to our participants that most people spend, write a check, or spend $225, $230 a year for their trash pickup. Take that money, put it here in a pot. Now, if you had a single service provider for both recycling and trash, the taxes that you would levy might only be $125. So you've saved the residents on average $125. You wouldn't know what that exact amount would be unless you got your bids. And then you laid that out for the residents to see, which I'm recommending that whatever options you go with, that the bid process to really disclose the exact dollar amount that would save residents, I think would be imperative. The preferred option, or the preferred subscriber plan, paying up front for a year, minimally, without any refunds given, was not a very palatable idea for a lot of people at the listening sessions. I'm going to stop right there and ask if you have any questions so far. So the options, there are many, and they're complex. Every participant who then went forth, now we started the listening session process. Based on everything you've heard as a participant, here are the questions. So the first question asked participants to talk in general about everything they just heard. I took copious notes and pretty much verbatim tried to capture everything. I don't record those because I want people to feel trust. I want the process to be trusting. I then go home after each session, and I transcribe my notes. And then I put those in a spreadsheet so that I later can disaggregate the information and find the most common phrases, the most common words, and the things that most people have said. The first question asks people to talk in general. So in your final report, that's the largest raw data section. You can see exactly what people said. And then from there, I provide a highlight and a summary after each of those raw data sections to say you had X, you know, out of all of these participants, there were 58 mentions about the need for curbside recycling, or there were 16 mentions of concern about the local haulers, and that's all in your report. The second question asked people to help you in that I said, of all the factors that go into this, are there factors that you want the city council to give greater weight to? And those are in the report as far as what factors mean the most to them. Cost was the number one factor that they said we want it affordable for all. Secondly, was the environmental importance of developing more sustainable practices for the whole city. Off the top of my head, I'm sorry. Education was important, but it wasn't the third one. Accessibility. ease of doing it. At the end of the driveway was a big deal. People feel like if everybody has a bin, it's at the end of your driveway. Even if you're not using your bin in that way, at some point seeing your neighbors recycle, you might find that you will begin to recycle. Research shows that people do. And the participation goes up dramatically with everybody getting a bin. From there, the third question was, what is your option that you recommend to the city council? And overwhelmingly, it was option 5, to bundle trash and recycling with a single hauler through a tax. And out of the 103, we had 68 people respond that way. Option 1 was the closest second with 26 responses. Option 1, which was one recycling hauler, pay through taxes, everybody gets it in. Local haulers stay intact. Adding another truck to the road. Option 4 was the preferred subscriber plan, where you pay up front, you don't get a refund. And what that means is that they're just being guaranteed a client base. So if I've got to go out and buy a new truck, is it going to be worth my while fiscally? Option 3, there's the brush. There was one response. The survey that was done was a pre-registration survey. I always do a pre-registration process so I know how many people are coming. Do I need 2 facilitators for the small group discussions? What is the flavor of the people coming in? Do I have 25 angry people that are like, you know? I can tell you that everybody was extremely pleasant. There were absolutely no people that went outside the norms of the listening sessions. But only 65 people filled out a registration survey. So what that means, and I put it in the report, is that some people signed up to come, and then they didn't show up. I had a lot of people just walk in. Most of them were able to sign in, so I had some follow-up to send them a survey. And then in the case of the condo associations, which had large groups, they did not pre-register. I sent them the survey after the fact, and I had 3 out of the 17 plus 11, 28 people. So the response rate was limited. I think the survey data you should just look at for a clear-cut yes or no answer, or, you know, how many females, how many males. But keep in mind that only 3 of the participants who filled out the survey had all of this information in advance. And I believe the information that was given in advance greatly shaped the thoughtfulness of the responses. And so my recommendation is however you proceed, if you were thinking about a full survey being sent through a utility bill, let's say, that without an upfront opportunity to, where can I get this information so I'm an informed respondent, I don't think that survey would be very effective. So I think a challenge will be, well, how could we get that all of the pressing information out to our residents? Maybe it's a video that they watch, and only through watching it you access the, that's for another day to talk about. But I think the information part of it was just vital. That's a quick and off the top of my head presentation.
That's quicker than 90 minutes.
Yes.
When we sat down. But
yes.
I did attend one of yours, and it was excellent, informative. I had a lot of all the options, the 5 options. So with that, are there any questions? Yes.
So for the question three about which option, when folks said option five or one, did you code it as both or?
I counted it as both if okay. It was like five and or one.
Yeah, because I see that in here a lot,
yes.
And so you coded it as both.
I absolutely did.
Okay. And then with the haulers for the recycling, was for what they were going to collect, was that talking about single stream or were they?
Everything was single stream.
Okay.
And for people who might not, I didn't know what that referred to when I started this process, but it means that you put all of your recycling in the bin. So you don't have to separate your plastics and your cardboard and keep it separate. You just put everything in the bin that is recyclable. And when I've looked at what kinds of recycling bins are available, I think the ones that make the most sense is you've got right on the top of the can exactly what is allowable to go in that can. Contaminating your recyclable materials with trash, you know, the cleaner the recyclables are, the better. And if this is where I think the miscommunication is or the misperception about, well, everything ends up in a landfill anyway. That's not accurate. There are cameras at every landfill taking a video of what exactly is coming out of those trucks. There are cameras on some of our larger haulers' equipment. So when that trash bin is being dumped, they're knowing what the extra stuff outside the bag, if you will, what is coming. If a recycle hauler takes their truckload to the MRF in Saginaw and it is contaminated, it usually ruins the whole load. Mm-hmm. So they get a big fine for bringing in contaminated materials. And those materials would likely go to the landfill. I thought that the survey did give us some information that said the people who responded, many of them knew that the majority of materials do go to a MRF versus a landfill, but there were still some people that said, I think, you know, most of it ends up in the landfill. I can tell you that some of our local haulers shared that information that it's all going here anyway. I pressed them on that, and I talked about the regulation. Oh, yeah. So I in no way want to provide any negativity to our local haulers because they were gracious. This is our livelihoods. I appreciated the willingness for them to speak openly and freely, but their recommendations and their, I think you'll see in the report that many people felt that this is going to be a change for everyone and it may require our local haulers to compromise and or do a little changing. Yes.
So a follow-up about the haulers. If there was a local MRF, would they be more willing to do it? Was that clear?
It's a huge factor.
If there was one like here in Owosso, they would be way more for
yes.
it.
Yes, and two haulers that I spoke to said it. Right now, we have cardboard and paper alone that could sustain a Shiawassee County MRF.
Okay, and then my last question is, would these local haulers have the ability to bid on a citywide contract, or would that only be the large couple of local haulers? Or did Kelly's feel like they could bid for the whole city?
I believe none of them said whether they would or wouldn't, but I think it would be only fair that anybody that feels that they have access to the equipment and want that would be a genuine, important process to include everybody.
Well, I'm saying they can. I'm just wondering if they indicated that they had the capacity to do it.
The small haulers said we'll comply, and I believe that they were hoping that it would be those who pay will be the ones that participate.
Okay.
But I do want you to know that a large number of your participants said that if it ends up just being a handful of those who can afford it to pay the $30 or $35 a month to pay to recycle, then are we really going to make any impact in the sustainability efforts. There was a much larger, well, the 68 who said option five, and even one, which was levying a little bit of a tax. And I think that, speaking with how Corona implemented things, I think there are some creative ways that all of that could be done. That showing the savings that could be had in any number of these options, I think would be vital. And every city manager I spoke with who has implemented this has said that there's been a pretty dramatic cost savings. There are trade-offs to everything. And I think the report in detail gets at a lot of things that, you know, everything everybody said is in that report. Just seeing this highlighted document doesn't do the process justice, because it was extremely, extremely thorough. And I am here and able to continue to support you in more data collection, and or if you have tomorrow, if you say, I've got it, I want to talk to Carrie about that, call me. I would be happy to share the information. Any other questions?
Seeing none, we want to thank you. Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
So what's next?
What's next?
For recycling, for us.
Well, that's a...
I mean, we just had a lot of community input and spent a lot of money to get this information. So what happens next?
Do we put it on an agenda at some point, or do we?
Yeah.
Well, I know that we have to make a decision by a certain time, and I think that decision, it's got to be implemented by the first of 2028 is what I understand is when it has to be implemented. Am I correct on that?
I think that's the countywide plan. When's the city one due?
I think it's the same time period.
I think we're 28. The county is 32.
Well, there you go.
Jerry, you're on that committee. I can't recall.
I think
it's 32.
I think it's 32 on the county as well.
Is it, Greg? Yes.
Yeah.
So we're running out of time.
Yeah, I was going to say, what to do with whatever the next step is there a missing element that we would need to get it on the agenda? Like, is there another piece of data that we would benefit from bringing to the table for an agenda item about this?
I guess when it comes to, there's two things that come to mind when if we're ready to put something on. When you put something on the agenda, it's usually someone makes a nomination, I would say, or a motion, or let's say if we look at Gary Krantz's, Dr. Krantz's report, do you put in, we want it to number five, for example, we want to put that on the agenda to look at it and possibly approve option number five. So are we ready to do that at this point in time to make a decision? I think there might be more discussion between the seven of us on these five options. Frankly put, number five is the toughest one. The best one, because it's a single hauler, and it's probably going to be the least amount of cost to the residents. It's going to be the least amount of wear and tear with one hauler on our streets, and it would be tax based.
Right.
So it'd be probably the easiest to implement and to manage. I think by the city. I can speak for the city manager on that when it comes to option number five and being one hauler and tax-based when it comes to the payment of it.
I do have a note about that, because I have a question about option five with, like, logistics. Well, I guess not option five, all of the options.
No.
Would the city be the, like, if someone has a question about, can I recycle this, would they be calling the city, or would they be calling the hauler? Just trying to think, like, will it require more staffing, or will it all fall to the hauler? Just that as a consideration.
That's the scenario where you'd contract with a single hauler.
And then would they...
That would be a question for the hauler.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
I think it's a little too early to talk about how you fund this thing, because you've got to decide on whether or not you want to do option five, the single hauler.
That's exactly right.
And then you got to answer the question, do you want more input in some different way? If not, then you can proceed to decide what you want to do, and then staff can put together a roadmap for you.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we have to decide if what we just received tonight is enough for us to come up with an item for the agenda when it comes to these five options, or we have to go further and get more information. I don't know. I mean, I have my. It's the first time that the. I think the public, I mean, I know we went out to the public. I know we went out and we got 108 or whatever to participate. I don't know if there's a way to get this out where we might get some more input. I think it's pretty much what you've done here is pretty much black and white to me. It's one through five. It's every option that I think that we should be looking at. I don't think there's options 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's five options. And I think as, yes?
I think one of the most important points.
Can you come to the mic? Sorry.
In listening to what Manager Honey said is, I think it's very important to be able to take maybe the top options that were recommended here and determine through a bidding process what exactly that would mean. Maybe you won't have anybody who bids on it. Maybe you'll have one. But I think in addressing the point of the water bills are high, the economy's not ideal, so many factors that... Some of these options, like I said, may in fact turn out to save each resident who's currently paying for trash service $100-some. And I think it's important that everybody sees that savings, so that when we talk about, I even think the wording of, well, we're going to raise taxes to do this, that's not even accurate at this point. Having everybody pitch in for the common good through a common tax doesn't mean it's going to cost me more if it's a flow through of what I no longer have to pay in my garbage services. I think that information must get out to the public in some way. So a thought I had is that really discussing how do you get that insight, that vital information in a fair and open manner, an objective manner, and then have perhaps some facilitated diving into what that means and what that would look like. And then it may warrant everybody gets a letter in their utility bill asking to participate in an upcoming series of sharing what we found with the open bidding process. Those are just things I had thought about if I were going to say what might be the next steps.
Yeah,
because without the public knowing how you break it down, option five might be worse than option one.
Mm-hmm.
And many participants said 8 years.